section86.com. We're changing the world of podcasting one show at a time.
On a Greyhound bus, Lord, I'm traveling this morning. I'm going. Jet black, and her name was Colleen. Thought she was the cream of the Basin Street Queens. She got tired of that smoky wine dream, began to feel lonesome. Sweeps. Gave on to a beggar who was mumbling through the streets. There's no escaping from his snowy white dreams. Born and lonesome, Henri and me. So low. At dawn I pray to the Lord of my soul. I say, dear Lord, do right by me. You know I'm tired of being lonesome.
Motherfuckers.
Ooh, shit. I am fucked up. Drank me a couple 40s of Colt 45. Did a couple shots of some gin. I'm going to do another shot of gin. Oh, fuck. Where am I? Yeah. You're listening to the White Trash Revival. This is episode 33. And I'm Donnie Fucking Cash. Episode 33. Larry Bird. Greatest basketball player of all time. He was number 33. And let me tell you this. I used to date a girl when I was 18 that looked like Larry Bird. I know you're probably thinking, who? She must have been a ugly bitch. Well, you know what? You shallow motherfuckers that are thinking that, it is not what's on the outside. It's what's on the inside. And if they're beautiful on the inside, then who gives a fuck what they look like? God. Anyways, she did look like Larry Bird. And my only complaint with her was, her fucking pussy was hairier than fuck. She had hair from her asshole to her belly button. Ugh. Not to mention she was 6'5" and had a mean crossover dribble and pretty much played like Larry Bird. Fuck, maybe I was dating Larry Bird. Who knows? Anyways, I got a good show lined up for you. Got some new music. Got an interview with Kyle Turley. You know, the motherfucker from the Saints that ripped that dude's head off and threw it about 20 yards downfield. And I'll also be talking to the boys from Billy Two Shoes and talking about what they do and, you know, a little charity they take care of, which is fucking awesome. And let's see, next week I got Dogbite Harris. You might not have heard of him, but after you hear what he sings, you will know and love him. So let's get in this first motherfucking set. Motherfuckers!
1 minute you were there, then strangely you were bleeding down by the rotted pier. Away we left your children weeping all alone tonight. The sky is open and yawning, and if I see your face, I will know I'm dying. And the years roll by, and I am left wanting. The tide rolls slowly in, bringing the smell of morning. And yes, I know it's not right to dig you out of your grave, but late at night I get so fucking lonely. Strangely you were bleeding down by the rotted pier, the way we left your children weeping all alone tonight. The sky is open and yawning, and if I see your face, I will know I'm dying. And the years roll by, and I am left wanting. The tide rolls slowly in, bringing the smell of morning. Oh yes, I know it's not right to dig you out of your grave. Oh, but late at night I get so fucking lonely. So fucking lonely. And over late at night I get so fucking lonely. And over late at night I get so fucking lonely. Over late at night get so fucking hungry. Over late at night, I get so fucking lonely. Over late at night, I get so fucking lonely. Over late at night, I get so fucking lonely.
Listen, will you just take a minute and dig deep for a bigger set of balls? Because you're going to need them before three.
Searching her soul, of drinking to fill up that hole, that empty, bottomless hole, so empty and so cold. Overpower this disease, but addictions are so hard to please. You can't swim on your own, but you will survive after the flood.
Thank you. the glory hole.
Starting off this first set was a guy whom I've interviewed in the past, and that is Edwin Clarence Graves. He's out of Buffalo, New York, and my top friends. And that was a song called Dig You Out of Your Grave. It's a new song. He sent it to me and told him I'd play it, and I hope you enjoyed it like I did. And following that was a little Cliff Greenwood and the Monsters with Floodgates, and he's kind of got a slightly Mike Ness vibe to him, which I do love Mike Ness. And they got a 7-inch coming out pretty soon, and he's got a solo album out also, and awesome. Fucking awesome. Yes, Lord. Fucking awesome. Thank you, Lord, for giving us that sweet, delicious music to our ears. A little ear nectar. Yes, Lord. And ending that set was The Bitter Tears with Murdered at the Bar. They got two CDs out, and both of them are pretty fucking good. Them folks are from Chicago, Illinois. You know, my used to be my home away from home, because old Mama fucking Cash used to live up that way. Yes, Lord. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Before we get in this next set, I have a little story I'd like to share with you. Fuck, I kind of forgot it. This goddamn grape gin ain't doing me no justice. Fuck. I don't know. I'm buzzed like a motherfucker. Who cares? Let's just, get on with the show, shall we?
Sipping jars they fill, dancing with cornrows in the backyard. Put it in a copper still.
And that song right there was Copper Still by Billy Two Shoes. And believe it or not, I got James and Big J from Billy Two Shoes on the phone. How you boys doing?
Hey, Donnie. How you doing, man? How you doing, Donnie?
Let's talk a little bit about your about Billy Two Shoes, your music and stuff.
Well, it started, I reckon, a couple years ago. Big J and I started it. It started out as a weekend project. We decided that he and I were going to sit down and cut an album and, you know, just run some tunes that we wanted to do for a long time. And started out as a weekend project, and then we were just sort of working it from there. And a couple years later, you know, we got people from all different places and all around the world, actually, you know, contributing some tunes and making a little music with us to help feed some people.
Hey, Donnie, I had to call off for work that day, too, Friday.
Yeah.
Yeah, I called in so we could do that.
Yeah. Jay played Shank at the last minute, man. It was great. It was a good play. It worked out.
Yeah.
All right. Let's talk about what Billy Two Shoes stands for and what you boys do. I you told me a little bit about it, and I thought it was real commendable what you guys are doing.
Appreciate that. Yeah, we do appreciate it, man. We just we make music to feed people, and that's it. We take everything we sell, everything we make, everything we can gather, you know, playing out or, you know, selling a record, we send it all down home to the food pantries, which are, you know, down in Gallia County, Ohio, and down around Logan, West Virginia, where some of Big J's family's from, and where old Gary's from, down in North Carolina.
So is the spot's pretty bad down there for folks?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. It's tough. It's a tough time, you know. I mean, everybody looks at the economy and watches the, you know, 6 p.m. news to get their daily dose. But, the, you know, the bottom line is, man, is there's no industry that's, you know, it's tough. It's tough to live down there, you know. It's a tough funny spot. So, you know, we figure that's where we're from. Our family's been there a long time. There's a lot of history down in that part of the hills, down by the river and down in West Virginia. So, you know, we're just trying to get back a little bit to where we came from.
Yeah, I think it's real stand up what you guys are doing because, you know, a couple blue-collar guys like yourself that probably struggle to make ends meet as it is, taking the time and effort and probably coming out of your pocket to help these people. That's real it's real fucking good of you guys.
We appreciate it, Tommy.
And that's why I wanted to have you on my show and get the word out there. And maybe, who knows, maybe somebody could shoot some stuff your way or, you know, hook up with you boys and help out a little bit.
Yep.
So, if someone was interested in donating, how could they donate to you guys?
Well, we have a P.O. box up on our MySpace deal, you know, so you can go to our MySpace, looks up Billy Two Shoes, and there's a P.O. box. We also have PayPal. You can order a record through PayPal, and although we sort of prefer the letters, man, it's more fun to get a letter than it is to have a PayPal, you know, deal. You know what
yeah,
I mean?
It's nice. Get to meet people you would never meet.
Yeah. But we have a P.O. box you can send the money to for donations or to buy a record, and then we'll get right back with you and get the music out to you and feed some people with what you're helping us out with.
Yeah, and it all goes to a good cause, and, you know, you buy one of these records, somebody could eat that night.
Yep, absolutely.
So do you guys have any shows coming up? Maybe somebody listening to this show could live around you guys and not know nothing about it. Maybe they'll come in and support the cause.
Yeah, well, we're looking to gather up a little bit this summer. We got a couple of fellas that have been playing with us for a little bit. Our buddy Coy on banjo has been with us for about a year, and we just picked up another fellow, Lawson, who does a little mandolin and singing. So, and Steve's bringing the upright bass. So we're trying to put together a live deal to get out a little bit this summer and, you know, hopefully play out around and find a spot, you know?
Yeah, definitely. There's always nice little bars in my area that play types of music that you guys play. And, you know, you guys ain't too far from me.
Yeah, get over your way and play some.
Heck yeah.
No, you're in Springfield?
Yeah, Springfield, about 45 minutes west of you guys, I believe.
Yep. Where are you from originally?
I've been here all my life, man.
Right there in Springfield.
I've never left this place.
Ohio folks, man. Use Ohio folks.
Yeah. you have anything else you guys want to talk about? Anything?
I just help people out. That's about the bottom line. Just help people out. Somebody stuck, push them out. They need some money, give them some money, and just help people out.
Yeah, we're trying to create a little more simple approach to doing things. I reckon.
Yeah. You know, you got all these big celebrities using their name to help, like Haiti and stuff like that, when, you know, it's the motherfuckers here at United States that are the ones that need help. you know.
Yeah, you go down southeast Ohio, you know, go Pennsylvania.
Yeah, worry about
Michigan. You go down the whole country, head down through Georgia.
Worry about home. Worry about your own backyard before you worry about someone else's. That's what I'm a firm believer in. And
it's sort of our responsibility, though, in a way. You know what I mean? If our people, you know, our family's been down there for a couple hundred years, man. So in a way, it's sort of our responsibility to stand up and help out some of them folks that have been down there for that long. You know what I mean?
So how long's Billy Two Shoes been around?
Oh shit! We can't really tell. I mean, it's been a long time.
Big J and I have been playing for about 12 years now.
Yeah,
on and off in different incarnations and different things. And we sort of settled down into this. You know, the way we always played is how sort of Billy Two Shoes was always, you know, a ghost in what we were doing anyway. So I guess we just found a spot to chase it for a little bit.
Tried to make some people, try to make some music people want to at least listen to, you know?
Yeah, definitely. Well, I got your two of the CDs, and I like them both. They're both real good and have the stuff I like on them.
Lucky, you know, with this incarnation, because of we got a buddy down in Chapel Hill, North Carolina, Gary, who plays with the group Tug Creek Ramblers. We caught up with him about a year ago, and he's the one that came in on that second record, and now he's working through our third record with us. And it's kind of funny because of the remoteness of Billy Two Shoes and how we have people that make records from different places. You know, he's become really a big part of the center of what we're doing. You know, because he's a fellow that we've never actually met that we've cut a couple records with in the name of feeding people. You know, so it becomes a lot of fun when you get to work with musicians that way.
Yeah, we never even met our dobro player. And, you know, face to face, we never met him.
Right. we've never had a sit down yet. Hopefully we'll get that this summer. Maybe we'll get a live record out of it or something.
Yeah.
All right, well, what's the web address people can contact you folks with? It can either be your personal email or MySpace or whatever.
Yeah, you can check us out at MySpace, Billy Two Shoes. We also have a Reverb Nation. Go to reverbnation.com/ Billy Two Shoes. We have a lot of tunes posted there as well. And, catch up with us through our MySpace, or I think I've got an email listed somewhere on that page. So, give us a yell, say hello. You know, we certainly appreciate it.
Okay. What song would you guys like to close the show out with? Or close the interview, I'm sorry.
I think we'd like to Times Ain't So Tough. That's a good one.
Okay, and we'll play that one, and hopefully we can get some people to get some stuff off of you and feed a family, you know?
Absolutely.
I think what you guys do is fucking awesome, and you guys are heroes, man.
Well, we appreciate you. It's not everybody's just got to do it, you know? It's little bits. Drips and drops, Donnie.
Yep. All right, well, here is Times Ain't So Tough.
Watch your first step. Fun.
Are you sure you want to the turning, kiss the picture of my two kids, light a smoke and drop a tear, take a slug of brown booze, lay back on the bed, kick off my old shoes, whisper an unheard prayer, fade to nothing in a spinning room.
That song right there was Sean Sparks with Just Letting Go. And we're going to get in that Kyle Turley interview right after this song right here, Sloppy Drunk by the Blair Street Mugwumps. Yeah, boy! Damn, I'm fucked up. I should even be doing a goddamn show drunk as this.
All right, folks, with me on the phone, I have Kyle Turley. How are you doing, Kyle?
I'm good, brother. How you doing?
I'm doing fantastic.
Excellent, man. Thanks for having me on the show.
Hey, no problem. Thank you for being on my show. So, let's tell the fans how you got started in this country music thing.
Well, I've always been involved in music. You know, some people knew it if they paid attention to my career personally. You know, you watch football, you really just see a guy wearing a uniform and a helmet. But off the field, I was always involved in music. And, you know, when guys were throwing charity benefit golf tournaments and things like that, I was throwing benefit concerts and playing in little side bands here and there. And, you know, just kept close to my music roots, play the guitar, play the drums, and, you know, I sing. And so I knew after football was over, that's where I wanted to go with my life. And my wife and I moved to Nashville here about 3 years ago. And since being retired, man, just started going around town here doing all the open mics and really getting involved with my music and taking it serious. And being around so much great talent here in Nashville just helped me to progress even further. And it just kind of evolved, man. And now I got a record cut, and you know, we've been out playing a bunch of shows around town here, and put my band together, and went out on a small tour already, and I've played some pretty good shows down in Louisiana. Played Voodoo Fest, and then was able to get down and play a bunch of shows at the Super Bowl. So it's really taken on its own little thing right now, and I'm just going along with the ride.
Yeah, you know, watching you play football and all that good stuff, it would strike me that you'd be more of a some of the do like Pantera or Slayer or something. So what drew you to country music?
Well, you know, I call it more power country is what I like to call what I do. You know, I got a lot of old school stuff in there, a few little two-step songs, but mostly, you know, I mean, there's just a kind of a good blend of what I'm about, and that is metal. I grew up listening to metal, but, you know, my dad was a truck driver growing up, and, you know, so Merle and Johnny and Hank and the boys were just all a part of my household, and, you know, my old Southern country roots, I think, blended really well with my metal roots, and, you know, I'm getting old, man. I don't have it like I used to. Can't get in the mosh pits no more, and, you know, my knees and back are all jacked up from football, so, you know, country music's one of those things that you can play forever, and I think that's what draws me into it, is that it's one of those genres of music that you just can continue to make records and play, and it's you and a guitar, and there's something beautiful about that to me.
So down in Nashville, and going to all the clubs and doing these shows, how do people treat you, you know, being a former athlete and trying to get into the music scene? They treat you like, oh man, here comes another athlete trying to do the music scene, or what? Do they hear your stuff and they're like, wow, he really does have talent? How do they treat you?
Well, yeah, I mean, at first, it's, you know, it's wow, okay, well, I want to take a listen and see what this big old, you know, blonde-haired dude's got to sing about, and then after, you know, my voice gets out on the mic and through those speakers, and they realize I can play guitar and I'm actually legit, then all those misconceptions go away, and it actually works in my favor, because, you know, on novelty alone, I get a lot of attention just because people want to see it, and after they hear it and after they see it, they're just kind of, wow, you know, it's like, okay, wow, this is real. This isn't just, you know, some other athlete like there has been in the past that's tried to do something in entertainment or music, and it's just been a joke. You know, this is something I've been serious about my whole life, and I knew that that's what I wanted to do after I was done with ball. You know, football is just one of those things that I was good at, and I don't think anybody could have honestly turned down those paychecks. So I did it for as long as I could, and now it's over, and now I'm just doing what I love to do and what I'm passionate about.
And, you know, right now you're probably not even, you're not hurting for money, so you do this for from your heart.
Exactly.
You know, a lot of people get down there in Nashville and they sell their soul to the devil just to make it big, but, you know, you don't need that. You can do with or without the cash, right?
Yeah, you know, and that's the beauty of it for me, because, you know, and either way, I don't think personally I could delve into it that way, because music to me growing up, you know, a heavy metal guy, I never knew that other people wrote other people's songs for them, and, you know, and nothing against that. It has to be the right people, and it has to be people who are close to you that you might write with, but, you know, the pop scene is just something I never, you know, really realized, and how deep that goes, and it really blew my mind when I got here to town here in Nashville, and, you know, there's all these songwriters going around, and it's just all about money. You know, they're just trying to write these songs so they can get them sold and, you know, keep paying their bills, and instead of, you know, progressing themselves as an artist, they're just more interested in trying to write songs so they can sell them off, you know. And for me, my music is personal. It's stories about my life, and I think that that's where true music comes from. And it would have to be the right person, like I said, in the right situation for me to really take on somebody else's song or have somebody sit down and write with me, because everything I do is just real personal, and when it's about music for me, you know, it's got to come from the soul, and if it ain't about you and your life and where you've been from and where you're trying to go, then, you know, it's just fake, you know, and I'm not, nobody can accuse me of being fake.
Right. And last night, me and Pete Berwick had a good conversation. He was talking a lot about the writers down there in Nashville, how most of them sit in a fucking cubicle and write their songs. And he was like, what kind of songwriter is that, writing shit in a goddamn cubicle?
Yeah, I went to, went and got an opportunity to meet with the people over at ASCAP, and I signed a deal with them, you know, for the publishing stuff, and they do a great job of fighting for artists to get their royalties when their music does get played. But, you know, when I was leaving the building, they were like, you know, hey, we got these rooms for you over here. You can come down here and write anytime, you know, and we've got writers we can put you with and all this and that. And I just told the guy, you know, great guy, this guy, Herky Williams, and I just told him, I said, you know what, Herc, me and you are going to have to find some guys, because I don't write in buildings like this. It's got to be the right place with the right people, and, you know, all this is too fancy for me. So, you know, I don't care how much money I made in football. It never mattered to me. I would have played it for a dollar. The same goes for my music. I'm doing it because it's, you know, my passion.
How did you hook up with Hank Williams III?
He was good friends with my good friend Phil Anselmo from Pantera, and all the boys in Down from, you know, Kirk and Pepper and all those guys, man. We hooked up here in Nashville at a Down show, backstage it was introduced, and we've got a lot of similar background. You know, he grew up skating and I grew up skating, and he's got some fame to his name, and so did I, and so we kind of know where each other are coming from and how things have been, you know, for us personally and the perception of the public, and, you know, it was good. It's always good to meet people like that and sit down and talk to them, because you find mostly that they're just real people, and being that that's who he is, he and I clicked immediately, and he gave me some great opportunities to open up for him here in town and play some shows with them, and you know, it's kind of evolved from there, and now we're going to go out on tour with them, which is just unbelievable for me, and it's going to be a dream come true.
Yeah. Well, how about, we'll talk about that tour here in a second, but how about we get into one of your songs that you'd like to showcase here?
Yeah, man, I appreciate it, man. Thank you. What you got in mind? Any one of them on there is good with me, but I got some good Power Country, you know, outlaw songs on there if you're interested in one of those. And
yeah,
then there's
like to...
shit-talking football songs in there from my past as well.
Hey, we can play whatever you want. What do you want to start off with, Kyle?
The first song on my record is called Another Whiskey, and it's a great power country song that, you know, it's got that outlaw style. It's a true story about some crazy shit that happened to me in my life, and I think it's got a chance out there if it gets ever played on the radio to be a little something. But that, you might as well start at the beginning.
All right, let's do it.
Kept the pedal to the metal with it all on the line. It only takes one bullet for a man to die. I said I shot the sheriff and the deputy too. When it's all said and done, the dust settled the truth. Facing heavy charges across the borderline. They gotta catch me first before I'll do the time. They think I'm on the run and that they're closing in. I'm just heading for the land. Already made a deal with my maker, and the good stuff keeps me high. Had to lose it all so I could rise again. With a guitar in my left hand, my right is always cocked to win. Another whiskey, then I'm done. I know I can't take just another one.
And we are back. So, we was talking about how you said you was a skateboarder, and that's how you and Shelton clicked. I myself used to skateboard, and I was pretty good at it, but what messed me up is I got my license and started experiencing women, so that,
you and every other guy, man, shit, me
that's,
too.
That's what my downfall was. And, you know, growing up, I didn't really like country music. Maybe it was because of the radio. And I'll tell you what it was that drew me to country. It was Hank 3 song Country Heroes. After hearing that, totally changed everything about 2 years ago, and I've been addicted ever since.
Yeah, man, he's just got some powerful songs, man. I mean, it just speaks to you. That's what drew me in about him and his music as well. It's just real, you know, homegrown music, man, and it just talks about real shit. And, you know, like I said, I grew up listening to old school country, and the old school country was just that, you know. I mean, Johnny and Hank and Waylon and those guys, I mean, they just told it the way it was. You know, pop country has just muddied it up, and, you know, some of it's fun, and, you know, it's hokey, and, yeah, it's great, and it gets everybody going, and that's fine. You know, I got no knock against any of them cats, you know, whatever. That's what they want to do. That's, you know, they're making a lot of money. God bless them. Fine. But as far as music is concerned, for me, it has to be real. And, you know, I mean, I don't care if it's country, if it's rap, if it's metal, if it's rock. I mean, you got guys like Hank 3. There's no difference between Hank 3 and what he sings about than what Lil Wayne sings about. You know, they all come from the dirt, you know, from the grit. And you know, if it's real, it's real. And that's why it resonates so deeply with people.
Yeah, and I'll tell you what, Hank's got some real loyal followers and listeners. I mean, people, I mean, they follow him, and they're true to him.
Oh, yeah.
I've been to a couple concerts, and it's just amazing seeing all the different types of people at his concert. You have the dark-haired emo skateboarders. You'll have some rebel flag-wearing dudes, some bikers, some mohawk-wearing people, and everyone's just getting along, having a great time.
Yeah. Yeah, that's a great thing to see, man, when you go to a Hank show, because you never know what you're going to get. I mean, I was here in Nashville, and I saw a kid walk in. This black kid walked in with his pants down to his knees and, you know, all baggy clothes and shit and his big old ball cap on and chains and shit. And he walked in, man, and he was just like, fuck it, I love Hank 3, you know? And I think that just, to me, that said everything about his music. I mean, it's real. And when you talk real shit and when you sing about real stuff, you know, nobody's got a problem with that. You know, I don't care what you're singing about. You know, I mean, even David Allan Coe's got respect from brothers out there because he's talking about real shit. And people know, you know, there ain't no color line when this comes to fucking real stuff. It's just life, man, and you're getting it out.
Right. How long is this tour going to be? You're going to be going on with Shelton.
It starts March 12th in New Orleans, and then ends April 10th in Denver, Colorado.
So are you just going to be on the West Coast leg with him, or you going to go on the East Coast?
That's the schedule of the tour so far. It's the West Coast tour. He only does a month-long tour anytime he goes out. With the set that he does, you know, he goes out there and gives it all out for about 3 hours every night. And as he said to me, he just can't do it, you know, past a month, you know, a month long of going out there and grinding every night. You know, the body can't take it. He's getting a little old in his days. So, you know, we're all getting up there. And as you get older, shit just don't work like it used to. And you can't keep running like you did.
Oh, man, you got that right.
Got to recharge them batteries, man.
I hit two of his shows on the East Coast this year, or last year, should I say. I caught him in Ohio, but, you know, that show was jam-packed, and I was, I took my stepson with me, and we got, you know, I got pretty fucked up, and it was a big, it was a great big crowd, and, you know, you really couldn't move. And then I caught him when I was on vacation in Hilton Head, which is maybe less than 100 people at that show, and he still gave the kick-ass show. But what's awesome about that show is, you know, young and old, but, you know, some of the old people got scared when that mosh pit broke out of the country concert. They weren't expecting it.
Yeah. No, he's one of the hardest working performers in music. And, you know, I really hope once he's out from underneath this deal with Curb Records, man, that he gets the attention he deserves, because he is one of the most talented musicians I've ever seen in my life, man. For him to get up there and do what he does every night when he goes out on tours, it's just, there's no harder working guy in music. I've seen the best. I've been around all the greatest bands, from Pantera to Slayer. You know, I mean, you don't get better than Hank 3, and that's why he garners so much respect from people. I mean, you'll be at a show. I can't wait for this West Coast run, because, you know, we're going through some killer cities, and you're going to get people out to these shows that you'd be like, oh, wow, that guy listens to Hank 3? Oh, I'm a huge fan of his. You know, wow, that's crazy. You know, I mean, some of the people that listen to Hank 3, I mean, it's a pretty star-studded cast of characters, from Stephen King to, you know, all the country greats that, you know, say he's better than his granddad was. You know, I mean, it's a pretty neat thing to be associated with. I mean, he's a special individual, that's for sure.
Yeah, I haven't had the chance to meet him, but I hear he's a super nice guy.
Oh yeah, I mean, salt of the earth, man, and that's what endears him to the people, and why they come out in droves and continue to follow him no matter what he does or what he says, because he's just a real motherfucker. And you know, after a 3-hour performance, he'll sit there and he will sign every autograph, and meet the people, and you know, he doesn't feel he's above anybody, and you know, he's just a real person, man, inside and out, all the way around. There's nothing fake about that dude at all.
Well, I can tell you, after this tour and you're done, you're gonna have a shitload of fans, because he don't take just anybody out there with him.
Oh, I know.
And you know, I've heard your album, and I like it, and I think you have some talent.
I appreciate that, man.
Well,
it's the first one I'm trying, you know. I mean, it's my first album, you know, out the gate, and it can only, you know, get better, I feel. It's my first attempt at making a record and really putting myself out there. I wrote every word on that record is from my heart and from my life, and you know, as it goes on, and as I get on this, you know, music road here, and I'm out with guys like Hank, it's gonna only get better from there, I believe.
So this record label, Gridiron Records, is that your label that you own?
Yeah, I started it a few years ago with a buddy of mine, and we've just been trying to hustle it, man. And we picked up a couple of bands back a few years ago that I was good friends with some guys and out in L.A., and we had some, you know, some success a little bit there with one band we had, a little punk rock band, and we were out on tours with Seven Dust and Hell Yeah and all these others. But, you know, it's been a good experience to be involved in the music industry on the manager side of things, and, you know, running the label, and so now doing my own thing. I know not to just go and give it away, because I got record labels all over town here wanting to, you know, sign me up and you know, get on their record label, and then when I sit down and talk to them about the business, you know, the way the music industry is today, you know, until the right deal comes across my table, you know, as I'm sure with Hank or anybody that knows what's going on, you know, there's nothing anybody can really do for you that you can't do for yourself, and the only way that you're going to sell records is getting out there in front of the people and playing shows and shaking hands, you know. I mean, it's just the way it is, and that's the way it should be.
All right, how about we get into another song here, Kyle?
Right on, man. I appreciate it.
What do you want to do?
Well, I don't know, man. I got my song "Flying Helmets." That's a good one. That's a real satirical football song about my days in the NFL, and a little Zydeco, little two-step country style, very very Hank 3-ish, and I think people enjoy it.
All right, let's do it.
Football is sport, kings. Sure as hell better than diamond rings. But a flying helmet ain't what they want from me. I'll sit right back and sing about my football days in Nashville, Tennessee. Are you ready for some real football? their shield on my chest. But when I couldn't go anymore, they hugged me like the rest. And I love the Union, they don't give a damn. They'd rather kick you back on Uncle Sam. Video games and fire the great Tom Landry and fuck Mike Martz. Never liked him anyway. Should have stayed my ass in New Orleans. We're in Florida. Cares. I seen him put $1,000 in a homeless man's hand and a middle finger in the air. And I never knew my bones could feel so much pain for a good old American silver dollar. I'd do it all again. Hell better than diamond rings. But if fine helmets ain't what they want from me, then I'll sit right back and sing about my football days in Nashville, Tennessee. I'll sit right back and sing about my old football days from Nashville, Tennessee.
And we are back. So let's talk about some of your idols in music. Who do you like?
Well, you know, as I mentioned, man, I grew up listening to old school country, and then you know, grew up in Southern California, so it evolved into you know, good punk rock scene growing up, and heavy metal scene. You know, but yeah, I love good music, and it didn't matter what it was, you know, if it was good, it was good. So I mean, but growing up, I mean, you know, Johnny and Hank and Merle and Waylon and, you know, David Allan Coe and all those guys, of course, on the countryside. You know, but you know, Pantera, Slayer and Crowbar and COC and Superjoint and you know, I mean, all those bands, man, Soulfly, Sepultura, and, you know, Snot. Growing up out in Southern California, I got exposed to a ton of music, and, you know, there was just some great radio stations back when there were real radio stations that played music. It was a cool scene growing up, and there was killer radio stations out there that one in particular that just was there was a called Pirate Radio, and they were broadcasting off of Catalina Island, and so they were kind of uncensored. It was like this new wave of radio, and they didn't have to abide by the rules, and they were just playing everything, man, you know. So it was, and then them and this other radio station, KNAC, popped up, and they were playing Slayer and Pantera. So it really, you know, that was the youth that I grew up. Those years when those were just coming up strong, and but I got a lot of reggae roots and 80s music roots, and you know, love all the old school 80s bands, from Dramarama to The Cure. I mean, you know, I'm a good contrast of interest here, you know. I mean,
yeah, you can't go wrong with that.
I got, you know, reggae bands from Bob Marley to Yellow Man and Burning Spear, and I mean, my CD collection, my music collection just really goes kind of all over the place. I mean, my heart and soul is metal. There was nothing more that fired me up when I went out to play football than Slayer or Pantera, and that was, you know, my just revolving playlist in my CD player before a game. My career was a very storied one with a lot of animation, if you will, of violence and me as a character, almost like a pro wrestler is what people perceive me to be, and it was just because when I was in my locker before those games, man, it was just nothing but rain and blood and south of heaven and walk and all these. It's just pounding in my skull, getting me so fired up to go out there and fuck people up, you know. And it was my passion, true to my soul. If I'm on a deserted island and I get one album to take with me, it's Slayer's Greatest Hits, and that's the bottom line. But I love music if it's good and it's real, man, and it doesn't matter what it is, really, and you know, it could be anything, really.
Yeah, as long as it tells a good story, I'm totally with it.
Yep.
So let's talk about your band a little bit. Who all do you got in your band?
It all kind of got started. Shelton, Hank Free, shouldn't give out his real name, the code name. Hank hooked me up with my bass player, big Rob Ogles. And Rob Ogles has played in a bunch of bands around town here, and he's good friends with Hank, and actually lived with him for a little bit over the years. And in and out of bands and stuff, and then he put me on to these other cats that he'd been playing with, because I really didn't know anybody here in town, where I came from. There wasn't too many people living here that I knew. The only people I knew in town here were ex-ball players, and none of them really played any music. So Big Rob hooked me up with our drummer, Brad Cummings, who's played with Randy Houser and a few other acts that have been out there, having some good success, and our keys player, Matt Easley, a kid from Louisiana, who's just an unbelievable player, plays the keys, piano, organ, and B3, and the Wurlitzer, and the whole deal, man. He's insane to watch. And then our lead guitarist, Jason Gromlich, has been in a bunch of bands, traveled around the country, and just one of those shredder cats, you know, that just rips on a guitar. There's me up there with my acoustic, and that's how we roll right now. I mean, we might add another guitar player in here down the road, just to get a bigger sound if we ever hit some bigger stages. These guys are all great musicians, and we've become really tight, and we did great on the road together. Everybody gelled well, and so we're looking forward to this tour with Hank 3 and getting out in front of people, because we put on a really good show, we feel.
Well, I'll tell you what, you guys ever come through Ohio, I know a mean fucking tambourine player, and that's myself.
Yeah, brother, for sure, man. We'll take you up on that.
Hell yeah.
Damn right.
You still talk to any of your football buddies?
Oh, yeah. You know, you keep in touch with who you can. I mean, it's tough because, you know, football is one of those jobs where, you know, everybody kind of comes from all over different places of the country. And, you know, when you're done playing ball, everybody goes back home. And, you know, me, I'm from Southern California, and I'm living in Nashville. So I'm away from all my friends back there. And then all the teammates that I had are just scattered around the country. So we try to keep up here and there, and we see each other at events, you know, Super Bowls or any other player events that are around their areas. But now with the music thing, I'm looking forward to catching up with a lot of cats that I haven't talked to in a while. I've got some good friends all over the country that I've played with, and now with the music thing, it's actually going to be a really cool thing to get out on the road and go through those towns, and, you know, they'll be out to the shows, and I'll be able to see them more than I normally would have.
Yeah, that's... Let me tell you, being part of this underground country scene and corresponding with a lot of people and all this and that, all of us in this scene totally hate pop country and what it stands for. Now, I have a question for you. I was noticing on your MySpace page, you have Darius Rucker in your top friends.
Yep.
Would you like to talk about him a little bit?
Yeah, well, no, Darius is actually a good friend of mine, man. You know, like I said, I got nothing against nobody. I don't live with hate, man. I only got disdain for certain people and a little bit of hatred for my ex-wife and other people that have fucked me over in the past. But, you know, I like to give everybody the benefit of the doubt. And I met Darius Rucker a long time ago. We did a Dan Patrick roast together up in Chicago, and we just clicked right away and just started hanging out and bullshitting, and went and ended up hanging back at the hotel together and just kicking it. And he's just a real cat, man. And, you know, that's his thing. That's what he wants to do. I don't care if you're white, black, gay, or straight, pop country, or, you know, outlaw country. If you're keeping it real to yourself and who you are, man, then I got respect for you. And, it might not be my thing, it might not be your thing, but, you know what, there ain't enough room in this world for hatred, man. You know, it's, you can hate the corporations, and you can hate the corporate side of things, but at the end of the day, people are just trying to pay their bills and feed their families and do their thing, man, and I got respect for that.
Right, right. But would you consider him pop country?
Yeah, I mean, yeah, of course. I mean, he is pop country. I mean, for him to be able to have gone from, you know, what he was doing with Hootie and the Blowfish and then go to what he's doing now, yeah. I mean, at the same time as he's pop country, I mean, that takes a lot of balls, man. I got a lot of respect for that dude to have, you know, not only just come into country, but being a brother and trying to come into country.
Right, right. It's going to be hard. You got to be, you know,
Yeah.
Charlie Pride. But,
yeah, I mean, he's talented, you know, he's a right. talented singer, he's got a great voice, and I read a great article on Darius where, you know, he really sat down and wrote his record. He said on his first album, this album that he came out with for his first run out the gate country, was there was only one or two songs on that album that he didn't write all himself personally, and that says a lot about him, you know, for him to have come in, because he could have easily came into a country deal and just had it totally fabricated and somebody set the stage for him record label wise and given him some hit songs that they knew were going to, you know, be big deals on the radio, and he didn't do that. He went out there and he hustled and he just toured his ass off, and I'm happy as hell for the guy for the success that he's had. And if you ever got a chance, or anybody ever got a chance to meet him, you just know he's just as real as they come, just like Shubner or Hank or anybody, you know.
I think he's probably too nice of a guy to be in this underground country scene.
Yeah, well, I don't think he's trying to go for the underground scene. You know, he's just, you know, if he's got ever some songs that ever get out there in the underground country scene, that you know, it'll be a surprise to me. You know, he's he's a machine now. I mean, he's proved what he can do, and now he's got everybody and their mama in his ear, pushing him in a certain direction. And who knows where it'll take him? But so far, man, I got a lot of respect for what he's
doing. Yeah, I mean, the only reason why I asked about it is because he's pop country. What, it had nothing to do with him being black. I'm a fan of the Carolina Chocolate Drops, and they're a black bluegrass band. And Cicada Omega has a black drummer, so.
Oh yeah, no doubt, man. I ain't talking about race. I think he got a lot of respect for him to be able to, get in there as a brother and fucking take down that wall of pop country success. You know, I mean, you got underground people that are doing their thing, but to have a mainstream success artist like that, and it ain't just, a post-Turtle type of deal, like he's got no business in there because his music sucks, like Taylor Swift.
Right.
I mean, the guy's real. He's legit. He plays the guitar. He gets up there, and he's got a tremendous voice, and everything comes from his soul. He's a real charismatic guy, and he's got a lot of talent in songwriting.
I'll tell you what would make all of us underground people respect the pop country people a little more is if they would support the Reinstate Hank campaign, reinstating him back in the Grand Ole Opry.
Yep.
If all these bigwigs that are in pop country would just boycott the Opry and, kind of take hostage until they have no choice but to reinstate, the Jesus of country music,
Yep.
Him not in the Opry is like Jesus not in the Bible, in my opinion.
Oh, it is, yeah. I mean, I'm with you on that. That's bullshit. And, I mean, guys like Toby Keith are really against a lot of that, too. I mean, he's, you got some people in pop country that really know what's going on. And, for them to use him and his likeness, I mean, it's just like the NFL. They use Johnny Unitas and all these old cats' likenesses, over the years, and yet they shit on them. They don't, take care of them and don't give them the disability they need when they've been disabled from football. And, same in country music, man. It's just big money, and it's corporations that have, given the black mark to country music and is, put a shame on all of pop country music. And you're right. It ain't going to get better, and there's not going to be any justice until the people that do run this, show, because that's all it is a show. It's all, it's all entertainment. And you've got guys in there, though, that are still in positions that, had personal contact and family ties to these people, and they still to this day, don't like them, and they hold on to, grudges and don't let the past be, bygones be bygones. And it's just unfortunate. It's got no place for it. I got no respect for people that hold on to stuff like that. And when you've got true legends like Hank Williams, you do the right thing. And you honor the man for who he was, and you don't continue to fester a situation that breeds resentment and hatred, and continues to create a disdain for music. I mean, for the artists out there that are really trying hard. I mean, I don't care who they are. You're Carrie Underwood. Oh yeah, she got to the American Idol and blah blah blah. She got to kind of hand it to her. Man, that girl tours her ass off, and she works hard as anybody. She is nonstop 24 hours a day, but yet she sucked into this, pop country deal like every other artist is because of these people who have, put a shame, like you said, on the industry by not, having Hank Williams in the Opry. And, it's stuff like that just needs to get out. And, somebody sooner or later will realize that. And, and finally put the guy where he deserves, because you're damn right, he is the Jesus of music, and there wouldn't be pop country music if it wasn't for Hank Williams.
Yeah, you got that right. I think I came up with ideas to try to get these motherfuckers that are high up, like fucking Tim McGraw and all them, to support the cause, Because then the powers to be would fucking listen. Because they ain't going to take us. They ain't going to take, a bunch of punk country motherfuckers, like all of us, in this underground scene serious. They could care less about us.
Yeah, well, you got guys like Toby Keith that, you know, I mean, he won't go to a lot of the events. I mean, Toby Keith stayed away from him because of stuff like that. And, you're right, it's going to take, the mainstream artist to come out and say, hey, this is bullshit. And, you know, guys like King 3 are really pushing for that. You know, I mean, his campaigns for reinstating Hank and the Opry, and I mean, it's hopefully going to get to the right ears. But at the end of the day, you got too many sellouts. You know, too many people care too much about those paychecks coming in. And, you know, I mean, you know, sometimes it's, an effort in futility, man. You can fight all you want. I mean, I've been fighting my ass off for retired player justice in the NFL here. And it's just, beating your head against the fucking brick wall, man, because the powers that be have all the money and all the power to continue to beat you down. And, you know, I mean, at the end of the day, I mean, you just do your thing, man, and who gives a fuck about those people? They're miserable anyway. I don't care how much money or big their houses are or fancy their cars are. It don't matter. They're still miserable people, and when it's all said and done, the dust will settle the truth.
Yeah. Amen. Well, let's talk about your album. Where could people pick it up if they wanted to get it right now?
Well, we're getting ready to release it, so it'll be up on iTunes and all the digital outlets, Amazon and all the others. And then it's tough to get a record in stores these days. People aren't really, the stores aren't really buying new music and putting it in their stores, so it's got to be the fans. They've got to demand it. They've got to go to their record stores and demand that they carry it and get on their radio stations and request the songs. But that's up to me. It's about up to me about getting out to the shows and performing and selling it to the people and making them want to buy it. So soon enough, it'll hopefully creep out into all the stores. But coming up March 9th, we've got a release date with our distribution company and it'll creep out into a few stores here and there, and then hopefully the momentum builds and those sell, and then other stores get on board and put it in theirs. But it'll be up on all the digital sites, and you'll be able to order the hard copy and as well up on Best Buy and Amazon and all those others online through our distribution company that'll service that. So, you know, it'll be up coming March on this tour. So I have it at the show with me to sell. So if you're out at the show, then you can buy it from me for $5. Or if you see it in the stores, I'm not quite sure how much they're going to sell it for, but it'll probably be in that $10 to $12 range, I'm sure. Hopefully a little less. I don't know how they'll work it.
Okay. I got mine on iTunes, so...
Well, that was probably the EP.
Yeah, the EP.
But the full length will be out here coming up real soon.
Okay. Well, any song you want to end the interview with?
Right, go ahead and end with that Saint song I wrote, man, called My Soul Bleeds Black and Gold. And you can get that on iTunes right now. But wrote that for the old New Orleans Saints, man, my old team, and was happy as hell they were able to take it all the way this year and finally win a Super Bowl. And it was great to be as little of a part as it was of that run and be down there playing for a lot of Saints fans in Miami, getting them fired up for the game. And I appreciate it if you play that song. It's a cool song, and we recorded it, ironically enough, down in New Orleans when we were on that little tour. A buddy of mine got us in his studio across the lake there, and we laid it down, and it turned out killer.
All right. Well, we'll end this interview with that song, and I'd like to thank you for being on my show. It means a lot to me. I was a fan of you when you played football, and I'm a fan of your music also.
Well, I appreciate it, brother. Thank you, Donnie. And anytime, man, just give me a holler. I'd love to be back.
I will do that. Thanks a lot.
All right, brother. Appreciate it.
soul bleeds black and gold.
Couldn't come that day.
We'll be right back.
to cast them all out, those memories of loving you.
Could we break you into the wall so we don't have to smell you when we come in to watch TV?
And starting off his set was "The Only Girl I Ever Loved Was Killed" by the Pants. By the Pant Hoots, which he is a one man band out of San Diego, California. And his one man band type stuff's a little bit different. Like, he has drumsticks taped onto what have you, to where he hits the kick part and it plays the cymbal and the snare, not to mention the kick drum. And he kind of looks like Elvis Costello, and pretty good stuff. And following them was the Hot Shot Freight Train with Memories of Loving You. And those boys are out of Knoxville, Tennessee. And ending this set was Danny Trashville with some unreleased track he made and sent me, and I told him I'd play it, called Greener Grass. It hasn't been mastered, and I don't know if it's going to be on an upcoming CD or what, but Danny Trashville's out of Oklahoma, and I plan on getting Danny Trashville on here for an interview, because it's the baddest motherfucker to ever pick up a ukulele. Believe that. And I believe that's going to be all for my show this week. As you all know, I am now on Section86.com. I'm part of their family. I hope everything's good over there with y'all, and you could download my show and listen to it. And I am also on iTunes, so if you have an iPod, you can go to iTunes and find me and download the show and listen to it there. Hell yes. And I'm going to end the show tonight with Uncle Johnny, little Johnny Cash, off of his new CD, American Six, with Aloha A. And I hope you enjoy it like I enjoyed it. Yes, Lord. So remember, next week, Dog Bite Harris. So take care and fuck. I don't care. Do whatever. Motherfuckers!
Proudly swept the rain clouds by the cliff, as on it glided through the trees, still following with glee Faleco, Iahi, Leuva of the valley. Aloha, aloha, Ike ona, ona noa, ikoli, one fond embrace, ahoy, heya, heya, until we meet again. Again.